pharmacy, and life is fun. At least we didn't have to go to Cook's. I hate going to Cook's. That's the worst. Those people. Anyway, hallelujah. I'm going to read Ephesians 6:10, and then I'm going to go to 2 Timothy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I always remember that when I see men doing wicked, I'm like, I'm not actually fighting against that guy. That's the guy I'm supposed to be praying for. I'm actually fighting against spiritual powers, and that's who we're fighting against. So it's like, we have to remember that, because we could easily hate that person who's doing wicked, but it's like, it's not really him we're fighting against. Wherefore, take unto yourselves the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, it's good. We need to put on that armor. It's good. I mean, it protects us. That's what armor's for. So, I mean, we're warriors for Christ. So, hallelujah. You know, this is it's a battle that most people don't understand. It's a battle we don't even understand, because we don't, like in some countries around the world, they are very attuned to the spiritual world, because they get into witchcraft and all sorts of stuff, and they get it. We do not. In this country, it's a joke to us. We don't understand the spiritual world. It's just kind of something that's maybe true, maybe not. But that's who we fight. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting the devil and all of his demons. So, is this loud enough out there? Am I loud enough? Sounds kind of quiet to me. Woohoo! That sounds louder. All right. Now we're going to turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. The end of chapter 2. Let's see. Verse 19. We're going to start with verse 19. I'll start with something it's interesting. The other day, you know, God always gives me little things to think about. And the other day, I had this thought. It was God plus work plus me. And I thought, is the plus me part correct? Because it's like I always think, well, God is important, and then I got to work to provide for my family, and then I need whatever I need. And it's like, I think it should just be, you know, God and family, and God will take care of me. But I'm always thinking, you know, well, who's going to take care of me? It's like, it's God. God's going to take care of me, so I don't have to worry about taking care of me. I watch these little videos, and it's usually men griping about women or women griping about. I just think it's interesting that the world sees this. It's because they don't have Jesus in them, so they see these wrong pictures, and it's always like, the men are always like, well, she just needs to respect me for who I am, and if I need some time off, I just need to take time off, and then she just doesn't need to gripe about it. And I'm not saying Mary does that. I'm just saying these people in these videos do that. And I just think that's so funny that it's because we're a selfish people, and we want for ourselves. And so it should, to me, just be God and my family. And God will provide for me. I don't need to worry about it. And that was always kind of, I know that I've thought about that in the past. That's kind of rough, because you're like, it's like, well, Mary gets to take things to me, and then I have to get to take things to Jesus. But I'm right here in front of her, and Jesus is somewhere. It's like, how do I know that my prayers are getting answered? But it's true, and he does. But through, you know, through experience, you know that your Father does answer your prayers. And some of the time, even a lot of the time, it doesn't get answered the way you think it's going to get answered. It's even better. Okay. 2 Timothy, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's right. Don't sin. But we know that's not a work. We know that God in us is not going to sin. Because God doesn't sin, and he's in us to will and to do. So that's a promise. We're going to depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So these meaning iniquities. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So, do you guys, I don't do this every day, I know I should, but you guys, our sins were covered, so we don't have to worry about the covering. So it's funny, because people say, oh, God, forgive me for my sins, and we're thinking, because, I need to have them covered. No, our sins are covered already. Jesus died on the cross. The sins are covered. The reason you say, God, forgive me, whatever sin I did, is because you're saying, God, I see that you show me that. Thank you. I don't want to do that again. So it's not been covered thing. It's a, I want to be in your presence. And I know that sin keeps me from being able to hear you correctly. Because sin is a distraction from God. I don't trust that you're good enough thing. That's what sin is. I don't trust you're good enough, so I'm going to do this. It's like God's like, no. I am your everything. And we have to learn to trust that. Our spirit, that's the cool thing, is our spirit trusts that immediately. As soon as we're saved, the spirit is perfect, holy, righteous, trust God completely. It's our flesh that we war with, because our flesh is still trying to seek its own. So if a man therefore purges himself of these things, he shall be a vessel of honor. Okay. Flee also youthful lusts. I think of that when I play video games. I'm like, is that a youthful lust? Or is that just dumb stuff? it's like, I always wonder, because that's a pretty strong word. But follow righteousness, faith, charity. That goes back to my thought. It's like God, family, me. I don't need to fulfill me, because God will fulfill me. The Bible says my cup overfloweth. It's full. There is so much in my cup that I can just share it. I know there have been times when I felt that was quite the opposite, but it's not true. It's because I wasn't looking in the right place. My cup is full, and that's awesome. I mean, the Word says so. If the Word says it, it's true. I'm just looking at it wrong. That's the cool thing about the Bible. If you're looking at it, if you see it and you're like, you don't understand it, it's like, oh, I'm looking at it wrong. God, show me. And if you have that desire to know, he'll show you. You go, how am I reading this wrong? Because every bit of the Bible lines up with every other bit of the Bible. It's the only book that's like that, where every part of the book is perfect with every other part of the book, and it doesn't contradict itself. No other religion is like that. Even though we're not a religion, it's a life. I don't like that word religion, because Christianity is just life. It's life. It's not a religion. Religion to me is a distraction. It's a substitute for God. Okay, flee youthful lust, righteousness, faith, charity, peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So remember, David had a pure heart, but did he sin? Yeah, he did. But God said he's a man after my own heart. Because again, remember, God is not interested in the sin. He's interested in the relationship. God knows that God will deal with the sin. It's amazing how many times in the Old Testament people would do these egregious sins, and God's like, all right, you're cut off. And they're like, I'm sorry. And he's like, okay, I changed my mind. it's like, that's God. God isn't interested in punishing us. He's interested in growing us up and teaching us so that we know who he is. he uses, I mean, we get punished sometimes because we're not listening. It's like, and I don't mean he's punishing us. I mean, it's just a reaction of us not listening. Things happen, and then we have to run to him. So we should just automatically be there. And if we're there, then we don't end up having to run to him because we're already there. We always think we run to him, but really he's just always right there beside us. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. I look at that word gender because, of course, if you look it up in the modern dictionary, we all know what it says. But in the old, it just means ordering things. So it's like an order of things. There's this and that and this and that. So just all sorts of different strifes. And the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and be patient. So right there, it's crazy. It says don't strive. You know, we think as Christians we have to do something. It's like, no, don't strive. God is in us to will and to do. But be gentle unto all men, because, well, I mean, it's like there's a scripture that says, he who's forgiven much loveth much. So it's good. It's good to know that we're forgiven of all our sins, because then it's like you can't be hateful towards a person, because you know, well, I need to be, they don't have Jesus the way I have Jesus, and I want them to have Jesus the way I have Jesus. Even the most awful person, Klaus Schwab, I want that man to have Jesus. If you guys don't know who that is, that man is missing some marbles. I don't mean mentally, I just mean he just does not have the truth. That man needs Jesus. In meekness and in instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that way they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So remember, that's the devil wants to make us of no account, and he likes to distract people. I mean, you can be saved, and the devil can distract you for your entire life, and you'll be of no use. You're going to go to heaven, but you're not of any use. And we're to be salt and light. We're supposed to tell the world about Jesus. Oddly enough, we're supposed to be at a place in our life where when people see us, they go, man, they're either going to completely hate us or want to be us. That's where you should be in your life. Someone should either viciously hate you because of how happy you are, or want everything you've got because of how happy you are. That's what we should be exuding from our body. That's happened to me once in my life, and that was pretty awesome. Actually, it just happened to me the other day again for a second time. Somebody said to me, he goes, of all the people I know, I think you're the realest Christian I know. And I was like, well, that's Jesus. That is not me, because I'm a selfish jerk. So, and he's like, no, really. I'm like, okay, well, hallelujah. It's just because I'm trusting God to do it and not me, because I of myself cannot do it. And so when it does happen, I'm like, hallelujah, God is working through me. I am dying to myself. And that's hard to do because we don't die easily. 2 Timothy 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Does that seem familiar? I didn't ever think that would happen. As a kid, I thought, there's no way we're going to get to that point in my lifetime. And we're there. And I'm not even 50. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, shall be covetous, boasters, and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Man, that is like hits every point nowadays. It's ridiculous. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That does not mean what you think it means. It means sexual perversions. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. And it's true. I mean, like, the Bible says that in the end times, good will be bad and bad will be good. And it's crazy. The people are just like, you're bad. And you're like, really? You should see yourself. But they don't, because they, people don't, you don't want to be bad. Nobody wants to be bad. I mean, like, even if you're bad, you don't want people to see you as bad. Like, you kind of clean up. You're like, well, I'm not really all that bad. But we are. We're all bad. And they don't want to see themselves as bad. They want to find some... The whole reason they make laws, like they made the law to say that a homosexual couple is the same thing as a heterosexual couple and they can get married. They want the government to say it's okay and moral and just. Because they, you know, it's like if you want to sin. You don't need someone else to justify your sin. Just say, hey, I'm a sinner and I'm going to sin. And we go, great, go sin. I'm not judging you. That's between you and God. God loves you, and if you give your life to him, he'll take away the sin. He's not going to hurt you. It'll be gentle. I mean, I can think of the times when he's taken away sin in my life that I don't do anymore, and it was like, it was a non-issue. It's just he showed it to me, and then later I noticed, oh, that's not a part of my life anymore. Hallelujah. And, you know, I mean, God is very gentle the way he does things. I think if you're going down the wrong path pretty quick, he may do it more abruptly, but... For me, it's always been gentle, and it's awesome, and I don't miss it. If the devil brings it back up, I go, devil, that doesn't bring me joy. Jesus already told me that didn't bring me joy, and I know it doesn't bring me joy. It may bring an instant gratification, but then 2 seconds later, I feel guilty about it, which is a sin, and I don't hang around people which I should be hanging around because they would lift me up because I sin and I feel awful about myself. That's the devil. That's what the devil does. He distracts you from being of any use. And the cool thing is you can sin and you can immediately go, God, forgive me, and then just keep going and go out and witness to somebody right after that. And the devil would say, no, you can't do that. You got to go grovel for a while. And you're like, no. My sins are already covered. Jesus, my sins are covered. And I just told Jesus, sorry I did that. And he said, thanks for letting me know that you saw that. Oh, yeah, because I knew you already saw it. So he just wants to know that you know that. Anyway, hallelujah. Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high. It's crazy how many of these pinpoint everything that's going on right now today. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such you should turn away. So it's like it hits everything from the completely licentious to the totally religious. I mean, it just shows the whole gamut. It's like none of that is godly. But what's cool is God is patient. Remember, it tells us to be patient, but God is patient, and he wants us to see his plan for us and to just live in it. Mom asked me yesterday. I went over to change a filter out, and she asked me. She said, "I got something in the cupboard I can't reach. Can you get it for me?" And it was some little little wooden figures that my dad made years ago. It was a Jesus and then five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. And that's it. I mean, that's the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit in us. It's knowing God. It's spending time with God every day and having that oil in our lamp. The Holy Spirit fills us up. That's the exciting thing. What was odd is it came up because somebody had posted something and I did not understand the post. They're like something about oil and that's not about the title. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I could have probably figured it out, but I was like, oh, you mean the wise and foolish virgins? And they're like, exactly. I'm like, well, why didn't you say that? Just make some cryptic thing about oil and titles. And so I assume it's probably based off of somebody's sermon somewhere, and they all are in the know, and I am not. So it will become a meme one day, and we'll all understand. You get, for the older folks, guys, you know what memes are? They're little things that people post on the internet with either dumb sayings or funny sayings or profound sayings. It's how the young communicate nowadays. So, guys, you should learn to meme, and you will reach a lot of young people. Somebody came up here, that was years ago, it was a younger lady, and she said to me, you look at those memes? And I'm like, memes? What are memes? She goes, you know, the funny pictures people put online. I'm like, you mean memes? She's like, oh, that's how you say it? I was like, yes. Totally. Non sequitur, sorry, that was silly. So turn away from all those people. It doesn't mean, and we're to be witnesses, it just means don't hang out with those. It's like anything you do, anything you put your attention to, anything you spend your time with. So if you spend your time with ungodly people all the time, that's going to seep into you. If you spend your time sinning all the time, that's what's going to be most prevalent in your mind and in your heart. If you spend the time in the Word all the time, and the time with God, and every time you do something, you ask God for wisdom, that's what's going to be most prevalent in your life. It's just practical. It's not a burden. It's just like practically whatever you give to your life is what's going to be most prevalent in your mind. You know, if you're thinking about politics all the time, you know, when you go to talk to somebody, you're going to talk about politics, you know, whatever your thing is. So everything should center around God, and then you should have a God view of whatever is around you. That's what's cool is I don't know. The thought will come back to me. It hasn't formulated yet. For of this sort, they will creep into houses, and I think this is funny, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, leading away with diverse lusts. I didn't look up what silly women was, but I thought that was, I don't know what that means. I think of the young girls that do all these dumb things on these videos nowadays, and they just do stuff for attention. I mean, men do it too, but I mean, it's amazing how many people are wanting attention nowadays because they think it'll get them something. It'll get them rich or famous or whatever, and it doesn't matter what it is. And it's like, wow, have some respect for yourself. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's something that I know I've talked about a few times is knowledge. I have, where I'm at in my life right now is I have so much knowledge about Jesus, but I'm tired of the knowledge and I want to know him personally. I want to have a relationship to him. I want to talk to him. I want to talk to him every day so that I hear from him every day so that we just have a relationship like any normal person. I just go up to God and we just talk. And I can say, here's what's going on in my mind. You know, because most of the time when we go to Jesus is because something's falling apart. And it shouldn't be that. It should just be, I mean, what did Jesus do in the garden? He just came and he spent time with Adam and Eve every day. He wasn't like, hey, what's your problems? No, he would just come and hang out with them in the garden. I mean, it's just like when you sit down to family dinner or, you know, we just had Thanksgiving. You know, you sit around and just talk about stuff. You know, that's what Jesus wants. We are his bride. And I mean, what does a bride do with a husband? You hang out, you know. The husband and the wife, they go to the movies and they go to dinner. And Jesus created us so that we could be his bride. So that we could one day just be with him every day, all day, and do what husbands and wives do. That's what the husband and wife is a picture of. That's what Adam and Eve is a picture of. That's why we were created. And I think, and it's funny because I know in the we're the bride of Christ. And I don't know that really means a whole lot to people. They don't really think about what that means. It means we're going to be Jesus' wife one day, and we get to spend all the time with him. And getting rid of all this junk out of our life, you know, allows us to get there a little sooner. You know, Dad would always say, this should be heaven on earth. If you're not happy all the time, even in the garbage, you're missing it. Because, I mean, we're in this world, but we're not of it. This world is just a moment in time. And when we get to it, I mean, and I've thought about eternity, and I'm like, that's a long time. I'm like, do we get to sleep for like 1,000 years every once in a while? Because eternity is forever. I'm like, what do you do for eternity? But it's like, when you're with the one you love, eternity is not even long enough. You know, it's like, wow. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, I don't know that story. I was like, after I read that, I'm like, I need to look that up. I don't know who they are. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they also proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So, and thou hast fully known my doctrine. So I think that's interesting. It's like, I think the Bible says that anything that's done in the dark is going to be brought to the light. And the fleshly part of me would revel in that. Oh, you sinned, and now everybody's going to know about it, and that would be delicious. But it's like that's not, my flesh is evil, but my spirit would go, man, I need you to know Jesus. I've thought in my past, you know, I would like to go up to go, I want to know if you did this, but not because I want to tell people, because I want to witness to you and tell you that Jesus loves you even though you did that. Nobody has to know. I will never tell anybody. I mean, nobody would trust me that way, but I mean, I'm like, that, to me, that's my heart. It's like, just confess that you did this wicked thing before God and then say, God, I need you instead. I would love that. Man, I think people are so bound up in their sin. They're like, how can I ever get out of this sin? There's no way. God could never love me. Or, you know, they just deny God because, you know, that's the easiest thing. People, that's what justification of sin is. You just deny God so that you can be okay with yourself living in depravity, so that you don't have to feel bad about yourself. But God isn't asking you to feel bad about yourself. He's asking you to, you know, come to Him and be forgiven and live with Him for eternity. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. So this is Timothy. He is, his manner of life, his purpose, his faith, and his long-suffering, and his charity, and his patience. I know I've said, I love that word, long-suffering. it's just a good word. It's so descriptive. Persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. So hallelujah. So he was persecuted, but God delivered from all of them. We don't have to worry about sharing God's promise and his gift and who he is. Even if we're persecuted, God will deliver us out of them. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he said, you know, you learned them from me or from whoever, but, you know. Correct. The Holy Ghost. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the Scriptures, everything points to Jesus, and he's saying, hey, look, you guys read the Scriptures, and you grew up with the Scriptures, and then you saw that the Scriptures pointed to Jesus. All Scripture is given by and by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, but it's good. I mean, it's hard to correct people because it's awkward. But I always say it's like if someone is in sin, and the world would say, well, I'm going to love them by letting them stay in sin, and I'll say, no, I'm going to love them by telling them that they don't need to be in that sin. Because it's, what's more loving, to help somebody get to eternity or to let somebody burn in hell? The world has the world doesn't love people. They just don't like confronting the problem. They just go, well, we'll just let people be people. What they're saying is, I'm not strong enough to love you, to tell you this is an issue and it's going to hurt you. And they just let it go. And they call it love, but really it's just fear, you know, or guilt, because they want to sin themselves, and they're like, well, I'll let your sin go because I want to sin, and I don't want you judging me. My assumption is that's the way most of D.C. is, because when you see these guys and they say opposite things, but then they let each other do something, I'm just like, well, I'm sure they're both just loaded with sin, and they just don't want anybody to tell anybody, so they just cover each other's sins up. That's just my own assumption. Because that's what I would do. If I were that kind of person, I would just, all right, you cover my sin, and I'll cover your sin. I mean, that's what all secret societies are. They do evil stuff, and then they cover up each other's sin. But that's like, it's going to be brought to the light. And it's not, it's like, okay, so you sinned. Let God cover it. There is not a sin too great for God not to cover it. It doesn't matter how depraved it is or what the human consequences of that sin is. God will cover it. It's covered in the blood. You'll go spend it with him with eternity. This earth is not it. Heaven is it. That man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to read a couple more verses. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's easy for me to exhort. It's hard for me to rebuke. But it's good. I mean, that the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, that's for adults too. If you don't lovingly rebuke someone that needs it, then they're just going to continue on in their sin. And again, they may be saved and they may go to heaven, but they're going to be their life is going to not be useful in the kingdom because they're just living in sin. So it's more loving to rebuke them than it is to just let them keep going. In love. Rebuke them in love, not in. That's why it's like when we spank Gabby, it's always, if she does something wrong, you don't spank her on the spot. You take her to the next room and you spank her there, because by the time you've walked from there to there, you've cleared your mind and you're no longer angry about what she did, and you're able to talk to her calmly and then either spank her or not spank her. Sometimes she gets not spankings and she thanks me for the mercy. Oh, but she needs it every once in a while, because if we get mercy too often and we don't get a spanking, then we just think we're going to get away with it. I just need mercy. And then you get away with it, and then you just keep doing awful because you're not. So every once in a while you need a good spanking. From time to time, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, which is right now. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So they still have the appearance of Christians, but they seek after pastors who just tell them what they want to hear, make them feel good. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. And watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, making full proof of thy ministry. So, I like Timothy because I feel like, well, I know, I'm an evangelist. That's who I am. I like to say things that build people up. I like to exhort people. That's why it's hard for me to, that's maybe why it's hard. There are some people, I don't think it would be hard for them to rebuke people. For me, it's hard. Because I like people to be happy. I want people to be full of joy, like I'm full of joy. And I know the only reason that people need to be rebuked is because they're not seeing the truth. And it's not a hard thing. It's a good thing. You know, the law was good because it showed us we needed God. And that's either going to cause one of two responses. Either you're going to run from it, or you're going to go, I can't do it, and I need you, God. And that's what God wants. God wants us to go, I can't do it, and I need you. And that's what all these people that do all these evil things, you just go, look, you can't be good. There's no way you can ever be good. You have a flesh. Until the day you die, you will sin. But give your life to Christ, and he'll start working on you. He said, I promise that the work I began in you, I will surely complete it. And when God gives you a promise, it won't be broken, ever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever when he gives you a promise. And that's amazing. Last week was Thanksgiving, and it's awesome because this country, people came to this country seeking God. They wanted to worship God freely. Man, what an amazing gift that we have this country where we can worship God freely. There's many countries where you cannot. You will be physically persecuted, not just verbally. I mean, right now we're verbally persecuted for being Christians, but that is, you know, that's silly. People are actually physically persecuted for being Christians. But we have a country, and I think we take it for granted often, that we can just worship God because we haven't seen it. I mean, like the young people think that socialism is great because they've never been to a socialist country and seen all the poor people that are starving and, you know, the tyrants that live like kings. You know, we in this country don't see around the world. The one time that I saw it, we were in Mexico, and Mary and I were going to the beach, which is a very affluent thing to do. We're going driving through Mexico to the beach in a bus, and we drove past miles and miles of homes that were made out of tin and cardboard, and it's like, wow. We are blessed in this country. Even the poorest people in this country have way more than many people in most countries. And that causes us to kind of lose sight of God and things because we put our trust in comfort and things like that. So, and that's rough because That's why you got to start out with talking to God every day so you remember who you are and what your purpose is. Your purpose is to be the bride. Your second purpose is to be salt and light. God created you to be the bride. And then he said, you know, go out into the highways and byways. We need to get more people to come into the wedding feast. You know, whosoever will may come. That's awesome. It's not God chose this person and chose that person. God wants everybody to come. Not everybody's going to come, but God wants everybody to come. We're all important to him. Even if people end up going to hell, Jesus still loved that person. So that was not a high note to end it on. God is good. Man, what a blessing. Even when you're in the, even when you feel like you're not hearing from God, you're hearing from God. Just be still and realize, because he shows us things in weird ways, and he's talking to you daily, and he's ready for you to converse back with him. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of your Son, and thank you for all these precious people that are here. Thank you that you love each and every one of them, and that they're all a gift. Keep us safe today. Keep us, let our speech be edifying, and let us lift each other up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm gonna, let's see. I should have this memorized by now, but I do not. But I do know where it is now. I think it's, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his peace. Amen. Y'all be blessed today. Thank you.